The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Last week was the Candle of Hope. We lit the candle, and you remember that our guests were that wonderful family who's getting ready to do some big things and to take hope to places that might not have a lot of hope. And one thing that struck me about that, although it's kind of a no-brainer, and that is that hope does stuff. Does that make sense? Hope does. There's action behind that. And I was thinking about this week's focus of love, and it occurs to me that love also does things. Love does. And I hope that we can see that today, especially. I got to thinking, and this will surprise you, but sometimes I get a little something in my mind, and it's an earworm or a song, and it drives Sheila completely crazy. Do you do this in your home? This week, it was, "What's love got to do with it?" You remember the Tina Turner song? "What's love got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion," goes the lyric. And then it says, "Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken?" And I thought, wow, that really is, in some ways, sort of a little microcosm, if I can use that word, of the way our society thinks about love. It's all about, breaking hearts or how you're feeling or some sort of romantic love idea. And even that kind of love does things. But I want to turn your attention today to the Philippians passage. You see that there are four there listed for you in your order of service. And I hope also to touch at least a little bit on one of the others today, especially when we think about John the Baptist. But as we focus especially on the Philippians passage, which I'm going to read here in just a moment, I want you to look out for love, not the secondhand emotion. And I want you to see what love does, and if anything, just shimmers there. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to shine your light on your word. And we don't want, Holy Spirit, for us to just camp out there, as wonderful as the words are. We pray that they will point to the Word made flesh, even Jesus Christ. Amen. Philippians 1, 3 through 11. You ready? You got it? Paul writes, "I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you," the East Tennessee is all y'all, "I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." By the way, the way the NLT, New Living Translation, does that verse 6 is, "And I'm certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." I like that. When we think about looking forward theologically, that's called proleptically. And here, Paul is looking proleptically toward the eschaton when Jesus comes back. And that's when all of those good works, which he began in you to begin with, by the way, are brought to completion. So we think about the long phrase as Christians, don't we? It's not just about tomorrow. It's not just about next year. It's the long phrase. In fact, it's so long that it continues even after we ourselves may die in the meantime. Let's go on. Verse 7, "It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." Again, the NLT renders that, "God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus." And then the focus verse that I especially want you to look at, actually there are three of them, 9 through 11. "And this is my prayer," colon. He doesn't say colon, I'm putting the colon in there. "And this is my prayer," ba 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 ba, underscore this. "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." Isn't that interesting? "So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. What a neat little package there. It begins with Christ, it ends with God's glory, and the stuff in between happens with us, through us, because love does. I want to show you that in just a second. I do want to read the NLT for you, verses 9 through 11. It goes like this. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. I like that. You keep on. You got to keep on growing. What? In knowledge and understanding. Verse 10, for I want you to understand what really matters. I love that. I want you to understand what really matters, Paul's saying, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. I want you to really know what's important, what's really, really important, what matters. Why? So you can live pure and blameless lives all the way until Christ's return. Verse number 11, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. I like that particular rendering. The righteous character which is produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. That righteous character in you, that righteousness that comes from your salvation, lest you begin to think that it might be somehow about you. Remember that it is because of the person and work of Christ Jesus in you, Paul says. That's the fruit. It's produced in your life by Jesus. And by the way, the most wonderful thing about that is that it will bring glory to God. What a beautiful, beautiful passage. Now, as I was reading that, I'm hoping that you were on the lookout for little places that have to do with love. And particularly now, would you focus your attention on verses 9, 10, and 11? 9, 10, and 11. He says, this is my prayer. Here's what I've been praying. We're down to the nut of it. This is the bit that I want you to get. My prayer is that your love may abound more and more. Grow. I want your love to grow. But it's not the secondhand emotion love. It's not the romantic love. It's not the way that you take an orange and squeeze all the goody out of it and toss the orange away and say, I love oranges. It's not that kind of love. It's a special kind of love that Paul's talking about. I want your love to abound more and more and more. And what does he want the love to abound more and more in and with? Can you see it? Shout it out. Knowledge. Discernment. Depth of insight, says one translation. And why does he want you to have your love grow and grow more and more in those things? In the other translation, he says, I want you to be able to see what really matters. I want you to understand what's important. For what purpose? Why do we need to do that? So that, what? You can discern. You can discern what's best. There's another little place there, so that you can be filled with this fruit. So listen, there's something about love that's connected to discernment that's connected then to fruit. Love does stuff. Love does. Love is no secondhand emotion. Love is not some romantical feeling. Christian love is connected to discernment. Now, this ain't part of the sermon, but I'm just wondering here. I'm speculating. I'm not judging, but I am fruit inspecting. If you know a Christian brother or sister who's not very good in discernment, could it possibly be that their love is not growing? They seem to be connected here. Paul says, I want your Christian love to grow, to abound more and more. What picture comes to mind when you hear the word abound? A rabbit bounding. We were in Cambria over the week, and I'm standing there out in the street minding my own business, singing, what's love got to do? No. And all of a sudden, five deer fawn went down the street, dodging in and out of traffic, and then they disappear. They bounded down the street. Boing, 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 boing. There's a Warner Brothers. There's something about love that's connected to discernment, that's connected to fruit. Abound. Real love, you need to write this down, real love grows. Real love matures. Real love does. Have you ever been around somebody who professes love, or maybe even goes through the motions of love pretty well, but that love does not mature. It doesn't grow. It doesn't abound. Christian love is not mere sentiment. Christian love is no secondhand emotion. Love does, and it's connected to discernment. Let's talk about discerning just a little bit. Look at verse 10. I want your love to grow. I want your love to overflow in knowledge, in insight, so that you can discern what's best, the other translation, so that you can tell what really, really matters. Christians are supposed to discern. Christians are supposed to approve of and practice what is superior. Now, this ain't part of the sermon, but let's think about this just for a second. I'm not judging, but I am fruit inspecting. Does that mean that if there's a Christian brother or sister who does not approve and practice the superior things, that they may have a problem with their Christian love growing and abounding? You think so? I do. Love is connected to discernment. Discernment is connected to fruit bearing. Love does stuff. Love bears fruit. Fruit bearing is expected. Fruit filling is expected. Have you ever had an Olalla berry pie? We bought one of those things, the mini version, which may still be at home, yes. This little pie, it's about that big. But it's kind of like a black hole because whole universe of Olalla berry stuff is stuffed inside. That's fruit filling. What about you? Is your pie crust full of the fruit of the Spirit? Is your pie full up of the righteousness that comes, by the way, not from yourself, but from your salvation in Christ? Fruit bearing is expected. Fruit filling is expected. Now, this ain't part of the sermon, but let me ask this. I'm not judging, but I am fruit inspecting. Could it be that a person who professes Christ but does not bear fruit and is not filled with fruit may have a problem in the love growing and abounding more and more area? Maybe so. Because love does. And Paul says that love is... Ooh, I'm getting goosebumps. Are you hearing me? You with me? Love is connected to discernment. Discernment, knowledge, telling what's good, is connected to righteousness. Here's a wonderful quote from Chrysostom. Now, Chrysostom, you may remember, is a wonderful church father from that sweet spot of church history, long about the end of the 4th century, turning into the 5th. He was the leader of the church at Constantinople. He was exiled, he was mistreated, and he was called the golden mouth. That's what Chrysostom means, because he could preach up a storm. Listen what he says about this very piece of scripture here. Along with good teaching, Paul prays that his readers might have an upright life, and not simply upright, but truly filled with the fruits of righteousness. He's not speaking here of a kind of uprightness or virtue that tries despairingly to grow without Christ. That's so good. I'm going to read that last bit again. He's not speaking here of a kind of uprightness or virtue that tries despairingly to grow without Christ. Now, this ain't part of the sermon, and I'm not judging, but I am fruit inspecting. Do you know some people who profess Christ or nominal believers, but you just can't help but think that the uprightness or virtue that they have is one that is a striving kind that's trying to grow without Christ? You ever seen that? I have. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, something along those lines. And Chrysostom says those folks are despairingly trying to grow without Christ. Does that mean, by the way, that there's a kind of righteousness and virtue that is Christless? Let me ask it again. Does that mean that there's a kind of righteousness and virtue that is Christless? What do you think? Yeah. And what's the missing ingredient? Love. Because Paul says that love does. Paul says that love is connected to discernment, growing in knowledge, being able to tell what's good. And that's connected to righteousness and fruit filling. Love does. Love is connected. Now, let me tell you something. I could tell you about love. I could read you a whole bunch of Bible verses today about love, the kind of love that does, the kind of love that is connected to abounding more and more in knowledge and discernment, the kind of love that then leads to righteousness. I could tell you that. But you people at Epiclesis have had far more better sermons done and shown to you about real love than I could ever preach. Let me tell you what love does. Love prepares a handmade coffin for a beloved wife. Love is a daughter preparing her mama's body for burial and the women of the church helping. Love is grandkids decorating that coffin, filling it with good things. That's love. Love holds hands with your dying son until he crosses over to that marvelous place where he's more alive now than he's ever been, and at the same time ministers to your ailing wife. That's love. And by the way, in the middle of all that, come and set up the church for Sunday morning. That's love. That's love that does. That's love that sees what's good and discerns. Let me tell you about love. Love, each week, curates and prepares special readings for Thursday morning Celtic prayer and communion and sends those to the pastor so that they're ready. That's love. That's love that does stuff. Here's love. Love works with and is patient with a wife who has Alzheimer's and is heading on a very slow decrescendo to passing away. That's love. That's love that does stuff. Love smokes a turkey for the pastor and even brings it over. That's love. Love works hard so that that person can provide a place of stability for his children even after a difficult divorce. That's love. That's love that does stuff. I'll tell you what love is. Love is taking care of your elderly mother when she breaks a bone in a far country and brings her all the way back to the United States. That's love. I can't even think of them all. I could go around the room and do one for every single one of you. You've seen love. You know that love does. One more thing on this second Sunday of Advent about love. Love prepares the way for the Lord. Love leaps in the womb when he senses the Messiah nearby. Love goes on the far side of the desert in the middle, literally, of nowhere, literally, and does the work of baptism for years, even has a group of followers around him. I'm talking about John the Baptist, and then says, "Not me, don't look at me, there's Jesus." That's love. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." That's love, to tell a dying people that they need the Lord Jesus Christ, that they need God. His clothes were made of camel's hair and he had leather belt around his waist. That's love. Denying self, I'll bet somehow even eating locusts is love. He says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not even fit to carry. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." That's love. Beloved, love is not a secondhand emotion. Christian love abounds more and more. And not in and of itself and for itself, but so that we grow in knowledge and discernment, so we can tell what really matters, so we can tell what's good. And for what purpose? So that we grow in the righteousness that is ours because of what Christ Jesus has done. And by the way, all of that gives glory to God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are your people, and today, as we have continued in this trek toward the incarnation, we give you thanks for showing us what love really looks like and what love does. Now, here's my prayer, that we, Epiclesis, would grow and abound more and more in love and in knowledge and discernment. That's my prayer. Beloved, is that your prayer too? Oh, Brother Jesus, that's our prayer for us, that we would grow in love for one another, for your saints, and that we would grow in knowledge and discernment. That's our prayer. And that we would be fruit-filled, that our crust would be stuffed with the fruit of the righteousness that you gave us, Lord Jesus, when you saved us from death. And you remembered the covenant of long ago. And that we would grow in that, and we would glorify God all the way up to the day that you come back, Lord Jesus, and may it be soon. In the meantime, we'll walk out our baptisms, and we will hold hands with those who are dying, and we will minister to those who are sick, and we will make coffins, prepare bodies, and we'll smoke turkeys, we'll prepare scripture, we'll give somebody a lift who needs one, we'll provide for our children, we'll grow in Christian love with your help and for your sake, as we pray all of these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.